Newport place-based initiative. I think you've got a bit of a latest position for us on it. Jeff may also have some comments on it. Just want to make sure the board is briefed on that one.
Thank you. So this verbal update, to work from, was to give an update on the Pang Community Builder Project, which is a health and wellbeing board piece of work. And the piece of work was really to follow an asset-based community development approach. So working with the community as the biggest resource we have, the people, the skills, the time, the assets that they have. And start from, rather than the kind of needs-based traditional approach, look at the assets we have and how do we work with communities to improve their health and well-being. And then ultimately, as we've heard, kind of trying to reduce the burden on health and social care, but actually how to improve the health of the population that we are serving. So currently the project is limited to the Pan and Barton area, the population of about 3,500 people, and it's got a small grant fund to get that going. So far the project has been in four phases. So we've confirmed the funding, implementation and training arrangements, with the community builder role being in place for about 25 hours a week and for 3 years, and looking at how we work with others to kind of get non-fiscal and fiscal support, including IT and space and things like that. We're raising awareness with key stakeholders on this asset-based approach, so we can all work together to enable the approach to work, and we've engaged with community members, and we've got a stewardship group to support the recruitment of people in the community to help support this piece of work. We definitely need to work with local people. It's got to come from the bottom and develop this context where there is an appetite for this type of work. So how do we work with those who are keen? And the community builder post is really key to engage with those communities. But finally, it's really important that we implement and evaluate this approach so we can kind of learn what communities want and how they want to develop this and what areas they want to work on. We will be able to do that. So that we've got a community builder role that's kind of following the way and approach from national guidance. We have a steering group that we need to really make sure is looking at the objectives so that we can report back to health and wellbeing board on the governance and the approach we're taking. And so there's going to be a number of things going on. We've got a stewardship group really around the community. We have a steering group looking at how the people in the community can work and link into this programme, and I think we need kind of some governance arrangements so the Health and Wellbeing Board can be assured that this project is going in the right direction, and I think we just need to think about how we're setting up so that we're doing that now.
So I'm going to ask Jeff to come in a second. I just want to make a couple of comments on this. When we originally took this project on, one of the reasons we did is because we were excited on the fact that Newport, this particular area, was in the top 10% as you measure it of debt privatisation in the country, as I think is an area in Ryde. And we chose this first of all, but as a template to then move over to Ryde, I think, as a second strand. So for me, what is key is as we go along with this and hopefully get the success we want, that we're documenting how we've done it. We've learned the lessons, and there will be, I'm sure, without even asking Jeff to speak, there'll be some challenges. But I think it's important we learn from that so that when we try and translate that to Ryde, we don't go through the same pain again, if that makes sense. And I'm glad you mentioned evaluation, because that's going to be the real test, isn't it? Is are we actually achieving what we set out to do? Otherwise, it's just another meeting point, and that's not what's wanted. I'm pleased as a steering group, and I have said I'll be very happy to come along to the next one of those meetings, just to give it a bit of support, really. I'm pleased there are objectives. I'll be see how the governance arrangements are being worked through. Now, I know Jeff has spoken with the chief executive on this, because we wanted to address some of the issues that arose along the journey so far. I think you're happy, Jeff, with what I think you spoke with the chief exec, and we got to a better place, if that's the right way of putting it.
Well, yeah, I mean, swap with my hat for a second, because I'm speaking as the Isleworth councillor for this area and have been for nearly 14 years now. and I did have some concerns 3 months ago as to where this project was going. Since then, I've spoken with Councillor Stewart on a couple of occasions about that, and had a conversation with the chief executive on the telephone a week ago, where I'm hopeful that we can get it back on sort of tracks, that as the local Alloway councillor, I hope this project would go. So I'm reasonably hopeful that we can do what I think was originally intended. I don't think I need to say any more.
No. Thanks, Archer. Just to be clear, I, as the leader of the administration, as much as the council, very much see Jeff Rollins representing us as the administration on this one. So he has my support on this, because I think this is something that he probably is as well placed as anybody in the community to understand the real impact. And I know that actually Newport and Carisbrook Parish Council have been deliberately written into the terms of reference, so we need to work with that as well. But I think a lot of that is around the governments and that. I think the most important thing for me, and on behalf of the Health and Wellbeing Board, is that we can be reassured there is some progress and that it's actually hitting the target, which is actually to try and tackle that. And you've given us that, Simon. So I think now is the time to let it kind of develop and then just keep us updated, if that's all right. Okay, and we'll do 3 months on this. Okay. Excellent. So if we go now to item 9, which is the Safeguarding Children's Annual Report, I think that's why Steve and Sophie are here. This is a statutory requirement for the Health and Wellbeing Board anyway, that we must receive this, but I'm sure you'll give us a full picture anyway.
So my name is Sophie Johnson, I'm a strategic partnership manager for the Alphabet Safeguarding Children Board. I know that you've had cover paper in the past, as well as our full annual report and the big fresh protocol that exists at the community project as well. I'm happy to take questions on them. In terms of a summary, which is covered in the cover report, in general terms, the partnership is working effectively, and the board are fulfilling its statutory functions in terms of scrutinising and holding partners to account for their contribution to the safeguarding partnership, as well as coordinating activity and developing policies, procedures, multi-agency training, and a range of other activities which are detailed more comprehensively in the annual report. Over the reporting period, which was 17-18, I know we're almost getting to the end of 18-19, but for 17-18, we have three strategic priorities: child neglect, family approach, which includes our joint working with our adult board and community safety partnerships and other bodies, and safeguarding children from sexual abuse. We completed all of the things that we had outlined on our partnership work plan for the year, which is positive, and that included developing and launching our online neglect toolkits for all professionals across the island. We commissioned bespoke training, which is free for all multi-agency professionals, including those from the voluntary sector or the education sector, to attend, which has received positive feedback and such a high uptake in attendance that we've had to commission additional courses to support that need. Undertake multi-agency audits to ensure that partners are meeting their statutory duties, but also to ensure that professionals are using the tools and the information that we provide in our online toolkits and policies within their work, and we have seen clear evidence of that coming through in our multi-agency assessments and campaigns of children, which is great news. And we've also, this last year, embarked on a closer partnership with our education and earlier sex professionals, developing and delivering bespoke training for their professionals so that they can they're better prepared to recognise the signs of abuse and neglect in the very young children that they care for. Of note, our work with the Adults Board and Community Safety Partnerships and Family Approach is continuing. And I believe that the meeting before last received a copy of our draft Family Approach Protocol, which I know received good positive feedback from this board. In terms of progress within that, that protocol will be an online protocol supported by a toolkit of online tools for professionals, and we have an ambitious programme for that to be available to professionals in both the children and the adult sector in the Alphabet, Hampshire, Southampton and Portsmouth, on the basis that a lot of our professionals work across multiple different local authority areas, and indeed our families and children quite often move across those areas as well. I say ambitious in that to try and coordinate anything across network boards is takes time, but we have support and will from all of those boards, and we are aiming to involve launched that in January of this year, so not too far away. The reason that we have gone with that approach is we received such positive feedback from professionals in Hampshire and the island from the format, if you like, the neglect toolkit, with it being online, easily accessible, and information available in bite-sized pieces, if you like, that's relevant to the things that they're looking for, rather than long, lengthy, comprehensive policy documents. So we know that format works. And given that professionals work more out on the ground, they use mobile devices more, we need to tailor what we provide to them for them to be able to access it in that way. So that will come in January, and much like the neglect toolkit, it's a soft launch in there. It's available for them to use, but it will continue to develop and grow as we receive their feedback. And in addition to that, I just wanted to pick up the point I think that Steve and Simon were discussing, which was around suicide and domestic abuse. And the Safe Running Children Board and the Safe Running Adult Board and the Community Safety Partnership are working to design some workshops, more charity workshops, for all professionals on the island, looking at lessons learned from serious case abuse, adult safeguarding abuse, domestic homicide abuse, any other type of review that we think is relevant, in a thematic approach to complement that family approach that we've been talking about. And that will include the learning from the case that Steve mentioned earlier. That is within this year's work plan, but I just thought it was relevant to this group. And that will be delivered by the end of the financial year. Again, we have developed training on the family approach and children that are affected by substance issues, mental health issues, and domestic abuse in adults, and that's been developed and delivered bespoke for professionals on the island, by professionals on the island, so everything that we do gets that local context of the physician on the island. And we continue with our work to safeguard children from sexual abuse, including child sexual exploitation, and we have enhanced professional information around sexual exploitation for children. We have developed, in response to professional feedback, training on harmful sexual behaviours, and next week we're running workshops on teenage sexual behaviours. And again, that's in response to lessons learned from previous serious case reviews as well. And our priorities for this current year that we'll report on next year continues to be a family approach, because that's a really important piece of work for us, and particularly our closer working with the adults board. Safeguarding the cyber enabled society or online safety, and that's a topic for our multi agency conference not 2 weeks ago. And leadership and transformation, and that's largely around how we remain sighted as a partnership on changes in various different agencies that represented on the board, whether that's because changes are happening because of changes in legislation or restructuring agencies. But also, obviously, the trust presented to the board on a quarterly basis in terms of their improvement plan, but specifically on the areas around child safeguarding. So I know that the trust do provide assurance to many different bodies, and we're really clear that we just try and keep it to the areas of focus for us, which is children safeguarding, and also for the board to consider and prepare for its change in statutory footing to a local safeguarding partnership next year. We provided a little bit of information about that and the reasons why, which is aligned to the updated Working Together to Safeguard Children issued by the Department for Education earlier this year. We are consulting with our local partners on the island, and also more broadly with our Pan Hampshire safeguarding partners as well, in order to confirm what our arrangements would be, which we need to have done by June.
Okay, thank you for your briefing. I've just got a couple of questions actually. I noticed in E50 of the appendix attached to the strategy, it talks at 5.3 specifically about any urgent or significant safeguarding issues that need to be referred to the Health and Wellbeing Board for consideration. I'm hoping the answer will be no, but are there any? The answer is no, so let's just make sure. Thank you for that. I know it's also in the paperwork, the Police and Crime Commissioner does provide some funding. Is he carrying on with that?
So we provide that, we bid for funding on their funding cycles. So we have funding for this financial year on what we asked for last financial year, and as with all bidding grants, we want to leave it for
Yeah, but at the moment, so I wear another hat, so yeah. I can inquire on that. Yeah. and also I represent the island on that policing crime panel, so I'd like to see that he keeps the other boy in his head. You may be aware of these C5 letters.
Yes.
What I've written is there any undue concern? Clearly there's undue concern that we even got any, but is it something that you've found any particular concerns about?
We haven't found any particular concerns as yet, but we have just recently established a Pan Hampshire, so that's Hampshire Rock and White, Portsmouth, Southampton, exploitation working group, multi-agency chaired by the police.
Right.
We've just pushed the police that we're asking them to present on that from a Pan Hampshire perspective, which we'll put the island at our next meeting, which will be early 2019.
Okay. And you mentioned workshops.
Yes.
And they sound like they're for everybody, but that was my question. Who are the invitees and how do they get to know? Because they sound like very valuable workshops that people could learn a lot from the case review.
Yeah.
I don't know how they access them.
Okay. So in terms of invitees, any professional on the island, and they are free to attend. If you're private sector on the island, you can still attend, but there will be a charge. And in terms of invitation lists, we send invites out to all of our board members and anyone that have our networks
right. To
stay made through their organisations. And that includes their teachers, early years, representatives to go out to nurseries, schools, and what have you. And then they've always got another website as well, so if you're signed up to our newsletters, you get them that way too.
No, that's really good, really good. Any questions, Amanda?
Just to add to that, because it's a joint workshop, a joint event, that will also disseminate through all of the partners of the Community Safety Partnership
right.
and the Isle of the Adult Safeguarding Board. So it does go to wider circulation.
Okay, Steve.
I just want to pick up on your point about exploitation in Germany. And on the mainland, one of the biggest challenges we're facing is county lines, and that's effectively the exploitation of children and drug money. That is across all, it's across all parts of the country, and Hampshire is no different, Hampshire and Staffordshire is no different. I don't have a clear picture of the island yet. I wondered if it might be helpful, appreciate Sarah's not here, but I wonder if I could get a briefing from colleagues and police on county lines as it pertains to the island.
So I met with Sarah last week, about a month with Sarah, but no, it's a good point. And because I have that regular meeting, I'm happy to raise that with her and all through Amanda.
Yeah.
But I think it's important you do, because I'm very grateful that you were the instigator of us linking the Safeguarding Board for Children with this Health and Wellbeing Board, because it is such an important link. So if you aren't cited on that, then perhaps Amanda and I can make sure that is given to you. And I'm sure Sarah will be happy to do that. So it's important. Sophie, do you want to speak on that? And I'll come to Amanda.
Yeah.
Sophie?
So the Safeguarding Board has a subgroup on missing, exploited and trafficked children, and this is an element that we do ask for on a quarterly basis in terms of local trends, themes, and patterns from the constabulary.
Yeah.
And we have developed a local, so island-wide profile of missing, exploited and trafficked children, if you like, on the island. At the moment, there isn't any clear evidence that we have a county lines issue, probably on the same scale, capture, but on anywhere near the same scale. But it is something that we've been pushing the constabulary on, because we know that there are other related drug challenges on the island, and,
yeah.
But they're not always the same thing. But it is something that we are monitoring, but obviously the information is not coming as high as it needs to, so perhaps we need to do some better reporting internally for that board.
Yeah, I think this is not to spook people, but at the same time, I think we need to get access to that information, so you're absolutely right. Amanda?
I was just going to say, I was going to repeat what Sophie had said about the Missing, Exploited and Trafficked group. There is some information going through there. The Community Safety Partnership is just about to publish the annual strategic assessment, which looks at a number of issues, including county lines. Now, similar to Sophie said, there hasn't been any evidence coming through. That will be published next week, and both the Adult and the Children's Safeguarding Boards for their next agendas have got that being presented to them. So it will include that amongst other crime and disorder figures.
Thank you. Carol?
I want to say probably something that my colleagues in Children's Services might find it a bit more difficult to say, which is it's well done because there's some fantastic stuff in here. So basically, we look at page 17, the line system, size of our children, the population to the high population, this is fantastic. you know, in terms of the early health stuff that's been put in, only 18% being stepped up in terms of early health. That's for me, that's just excellent. What do our children, young people say in terms of how they're feeling the same, or patients are feeling in terms of the right spot service, again reveals that our children, as they are our children, young people, are feeling much safer on this island than our comparative groups. So number one, what I want to say is that the strategy, the really hard work, and it's not only Children's Services, but Children's Services is the lead statutory agency here. So the leadership that I think has been demonstrated there, the proof is in the pudding, you know, so to speak. There's lots of very good evidence here. My questions pertain to the budget, and I just note that there's no budget for serious case reviews put out. That's on page 7 in terms of the jigsaw there. So I'm just interested in how is that managed because of the partnership. And then the second issue is around page 19, and whether we now do have a designated doctor for that.
Okay, so the first question in relation to budgets, it wasn't so much that there was no budget for serious case reviews last year, it's just that there were no reviews commissioned because there were no cases that met our statutory threshold. So we always do hold a budget for our serious case reviews, and we review that budget as the year goes on, because if you get to a certain point within the year and you haven't commissioned anything, you can relieve some of that expenditure to support other things, and often that goes towards increased training and workshops and things like that. We always do keep a reserve back though, just so, and we've had the same conversation in our board just recently in terms of the reserve that we kept. We don't need to keep the whole lot, we've released some for training and conferences. But last year we didn't have to commission anything, and we didn't have to commission anything more than half our regular number of child death overview panel reviews either. And sorry, Carol, what was your question? Designated doctor for LAC. We have been discussing this at the board, and I'm just going to expect it. Sort of divert this to our trust
only
today.
I thought you would.
Yeah. Barbara, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We are, we now have a named doctor for LAC because we haven't had that for quite some time. And we are currently in negotiations with the current designated doctor to take on the LAC element. We are actually looking at how we, you know, into that, and I'm hoping in the next few weeks that that will be sorted. I'm also in discussions with Hampshire around us covering that with CCG colleagues. It is a serious submission, and I'm aware of that, and we are doing our utmost to fill it. I mean, again, I am extremely concerned. I've been a little bit more reassured I have a named doctor, but I still remain concerned that the lack of a designated doctor, which we should have, but we are in negotiations with the sort of that. What I've promised the Children's Board at my farewell probably, that it will be resolved at the next board in December.
Okay, so perhaps if you can just let us know post-December that it's been resolved, just for peace of mind is always a good thing. Okay, thank you for that. So I'm going to go now to the recommendation, which is at 3.1. First of all, that we note the Child Protection Partnership is generally working effectively across the Isle of Wight, but there are some pressure points in relation to increased activity in the system and improvement programmes within the agencies where relevant. And I am grateful for that information on the training. I think that would be interesting. And second, to reapprove the protocol between the Isle of Wight SCB and the Isle of Wight Health and Wellbeing Board, which has been updated for 18-19. So that is an ongoing of the original setup. So our members happy that we have a proposer, I've got a proposer, and I've got a seconder, so that's carried. Okay. That's the way I type the word. Onto the agenda again. Partnership reports. I want to thank partners for the reports. I can clearly see from what I've read that a lot of work is going to go into them. I don't propose going into every report today. Brian and I have been working through the way we